Amen. I appreciate the good singing this morning and the prayers of the saints. There is no better verbiage, as I can put it, to where the prayers of the saints are dear to my heart. And I thank the Lord for each and every one of you being here today. And I just pray the Lord will bless you, speak to your heart today, and bless you from what He's given me. Is Mary Barber here? I saw a special sign this week I was going to mention to her she might want to put up in her place of business. And it was a sign that said, veterinarian and taxidermist. And it said underneath, says, no matter what, you'll get your dog back. So I thought that was pretty good. But I do appreciate the opportunity the Lord's given me today. I've been seeking the Lord on how to start this morning. And I feel like He just had me to share an experience with you that I had in June. And I don't know where I can do it without crying or not. Because I've had some experiences before, but I've never had one exactly like this one. And I want to share this with you to bring you to the point of what the message is about today. On June the 1st, and actually it actually occurred on June the 2nd, about 2 minutes after 12 o'clock, midnight, I was laying in bed, and I was awake. I knew Trudy was laying beside of me. But I just sensed something didn't feel right. And as I lay there, our little dog began to bark. I mean, he really was having a fit about something. And she was hollering at him, telling him to hush. And I was hollering at her, telling her to be quiet so I could go to sleep. And he just kept right on. In a few minutes, he quit. But as I lay there for just a few moments, I couldn't move my body. I was just paralyzed. Only thing I could do is move my right hand. And at the foot of my bed was the darkest of images I have ever seen. It was the dark in the midst of the dark. I could see the profile of the image, and I could hear a noise coming from it. Now, some of you may think I was dreaming. Well, I'm here to tell you I was not dreaming, because I knew my wife was beside of me. I knew she was laying there because I could see her. I could see everything in my bedroom. I knew that I was awake. But this image began to move. And this image came around from the end of my bed. Now, I've had experiences with Satan before in dreams. I fought him in dreams in my life, but this was a real life experience that I'm sharing with you this morning. He came around the side of my bed, this creature did, and when he got next to me, he put his hands or whatever he had upon my body and began to cut my air off. I could not breathe. And I was trying my best to fight him with the name Jesus with my hand lifted up. And I called out Jesus in a very low voice because the breath was actually leaving my body. And Trudy, she woke up. And when she woke up, she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Help. Help." And she started praying. And when she started praying, then he backed off. And I was laying there saying, "Jesus, Jesus." And he began to back off from me. And she said again, "Are you all right?" I said, "He's left me now. Keep praying." And he prayed. She prayed. And I got up. I went and got my Bible. It's about 1:45. I sat down at the table and began to read. And I began to pray. I said, "Lord, I don't understand. What's the meaning of this? I'm no great man of God. I'm just a common garment, just a vessel. What's the meaning of this?" And he took me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. And in reading that and seeking, he says, "Son, I want you to do your duty. That's all I'm asking of you, to do your duty. I'm born again. I know I'm on the way to heaven. He wants me to do my duty. And that's what my message is about this morning. Well, you and I as Christians, to do our duty. I want to just read something to you this morning. What is duty as a Christian? What is your duty and my duty as a Christian, a child of God? We're born again. His grace is sufficient. His love is pure. His righteousness is true. We have no righteousness within ourselves, but we have a duty as a child of God to live for Him and serve Him in the aspects of what His Word says do each and every day of our lives. So what is duty? Vice Admiral James B. Stockdale, one day, as he spoke, he was in prison in Vietnam for something like 12 years of his life, 13 years. He was confined to solitary confinement for a total of 4 years, shackled with leg irons for 2 years, and tortured on 15 separate occasions. In 1973, Admiral Stockdale was released from captivity. But he spoke before a graduating class at West Point in 1983, 6 years after his release. And Stockdale referred to Lord Horatio Nelson's signal before the Battle of Trafalgar, that great naval battle that forever doomed Napoleon's desire to dominate the whole of Europe. And he said, what did Nelson signal to the other vessels that was in his fleet? He signaled the following simple message to all those vessels that was in that fleet. He says, England expects that every man will do his duty. Every man will do his duty. You see, that signal is a short but complete lesson in the fundamental and necessary concept of duty. Because you take note of that one word before it says expects. You see, God expects you and I to do our duty. And it is our duty to serve Him. Let me give you a few statistics this morning. In 2017, October 2017 till November 2018, there were 245 million in 50 countries in this world, Christians that were persecuted. 245 million. That was and from 18 to 19, there was a 14% increase in that number of persecution. 1 in 9 Christians worldwide experienced high levels of persecutions in top 50 countries. 1 in 9. Every day, 8 Christians are killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ around this world. Every day. Every week, 182 churches or Christian buildings are attacked. And every month, 309 Christians are imprisoned. In 2019 to 2020, and this is only half a year over, this organization here, the World Watch List report said that 260 million Christians have suffered this year already. Up from 245 million in 2018 and 19. 260 million. Now I say that to say this. What is our duty? Where will we stand if someone came to your house? Where would you stand in your duty for the Lord? Look with me, if you will, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Solomon's writing here. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Duty. Duty is a powerful word and one of the most important in the whole human language, I believe. Duty. Most men, most people today do not know what the duty of man is. The bad part about it, a lot of people do not even want to know what their duty is. Live my life as I please, as I choose. Live my life as I want to. You see, the performance of one's duty is essential to the flourishing of any society. If anyone pursues their own individual desires and neglect their own duties, then society begins to deteriorate. And it begins to fall. It begins to crumble. It becomes degenerate. Whether that society is your family, whether that society is a city, whether it's a state, whether it's the nation itself, when we as Christians forget to do our duty, that country or that family will begin to degenerate. Duty is essential to human virtue, and all the more so when they're sworn to protect society at large. You see, it's my duty and your duty as Christians to protect this nation, to protect our family, to protect our state, to protect our church. It is our duty to stand in the gap for those who can't stand on their own. It is our duty. Duty is an essential, let me say that again, essential human virtue, and all the more so for those sworn to protect society at large. But what exactly is it? How is it defined? Well, the dictionary says this: duty is a moral and legal obligation, a task or action that someone is required to perform. You see, it's not something you just choose and do when you want to. It's required. God requires you and I to do our duty because of Him, because of what He's done for you and I. It's not a responsibility, because duty and responsibility is different. Duty refers to the liability which is assumed or accepted by a person as a part of their position or role. You see, it's different. It is different. Duty, it's our duty. It's expected of us. That's what he just told us that Horatio said to his ships, the people in his ships. He said, England expects you to perform your duty. God expects us to perform our duty. What does God expect of you and me in this drama of life? We're in a drama of life. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 3 and verse 15 that God says that Jesus is the author of our life. He gives us our duty. He sends us what He wants us to do. He speaks to us through His Word and through our hearts and through other people. It's so important that we do what the author expects us to do and that we seek to meet His expectations above everything else. You see, what He wants us to do, and He says that. In His Word, He says to me that I'm to love Him more than I love my family. That I'm to love Him more than I love my wife. And we've been married 48 years this past June. Some of you have been married longer than that here. Some of you are still, you're getting there. But I'm to love Him more than I love my wife, because that's my duty, to love Him because of what He's done for me. You see, I've been bought with a price. It's no longer I'm no longer my own. I belong to Him because He paid the price for my soul on Calvary. It's because of His blood that I'm able to stand here today. Even though Satan came against me the other night, I say, to heck with you, Satan. I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm going to preach His Word. Hey, after that happened, I didn't have anywhere to preach. I've got four places to preach now in this month of July since He bothered me that night and Lord touched my blessed soul. He's opened the door for me. And I'm going to proclaim the message if it's to my dying breath. I'm not going to quit because it's my duty. Quitting is not something I need to do. It's my duty to preach. It's my duty to sing. It's my duty to live for Him. It's my duty to walk the way He wants me to walk. It's my duty to serve for other Christians. It's my duty to share the gospel and minister for the Word of God to those I come in contact with. That's my duty because of what He's done for me. Bless God what He's done for me. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, raised on a tobacco farm right out here across the road. Don't deserve anything He's ever done. Walked away from Him too many times, but He comes, He brings me back. And because he's brought me back, it's my duty to live for him and to serve him. There's times I don't want to witness. I don't care. It's my duty to witness. Times I don't feel like coming to church. It doesn't matter. It's my duty to come to church. Every time the door's open, it's my duty to be here because of a precious Savior who loved me and died for me on the cross. It's my duty, and it's your duty too. Nobody in here is relinquished from that. It's your duty to serve him and walk with him. Solomon says that here. He says in this first passage here, he says in verse 1, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people, remember him in your youth. Come to him in your youth. Trust him in your youth. I remember across the road in the old church one Sunday, Brother Billy Pittman was our pastor, and he was preaching. And I got my daddy on my mind. I don't believe my daddy was saved at that time. In fact, I know he wasn't. And I left church and went to the house. He was sitting in there watching television. I went in there and sat down to him, just talked to him. I said, Daddy, I don't want you to die and go to hell. I love you. I want you to be with me in heaven. And I was 43 years old, I believe, at the time. He was like 75 or 76. And it wasn't too much after that. He gave his heart to the Lord, and I had the privilege of baptizing my daddy in the old church. Brother Terry was the pastor then, and he had a prosthetic leg, and he couldn't get in the water. So he asked me if I would love to baptize my daddy. I said, hallelujah, I sure would. And I baptized him. But I've heard my daddy say, and he was 88 when he died, I've heard him say his regret, as this verse says right here, his regret of not remembering his Creator in his youth. The things that he could have done for Christ, instead of living out in the world the way he did, living for Christ, if he'd have come sooner. Thank God he had a godly mother. She died before I was born. I didn't ever know her or his daddy. His daddy was a wicked man from what I can hear. But his mama was a Christian, loved God, died when he was 12 years old. But she took him to church every day. Took him to church every day. Took him to church every day. When she went, he went. That's where he got the basis of salvation, by his mama taking him to church. And he knew that he needed the Lord. 75 years old, he gave his heart to the Lord. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. You see, Solomon, in his word here, he tells us that we are to perform the duties that God has given us. Solomon was a wise man. In fact, if you look in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, Solomon in verse 7, God blessed him because when God asked him what he wanted for the nation, he said, give me wisdom that I might be able to use wisdom and meet the needs of the people. And because of that, God made him the wisest man that's ever lived. I mean, people from foreign countries came just so they could talk to him and pick his brain, so to speak, and find out some things about him. He was so full of wisdom. God blessed him. And he used it. He used that to serve the Lord. It was his duty. But he didn't end that way. He started good, but he didn't finish good. You see, I started good, but I want to finish good. Solomon turned to pagan gods before he died. He reigned over Israel for 39 years. He became king at the age of 20. Young man, young boy, really. At the age of 20, he became king of the nation of Israel. And he reigned for 39 years. And then he died. But he was away from God, serving pagan gods. He brought all these paganistic women in, all these concubines he had that influenced his life, brought the world into his house, and they destroyed him. And he walked away from God. He started well, but he didn't end well. I started good. I want to end good. I can't say I've stayed good all the way in between, but I started well when he saved me. I want to end well when he calls me home. I want to end well when he calls me home. You see, Remember the Lord or your Creator in the days of your youth. But if you don't, how about those of us that are not in our youth anymore? How about those of us that are in the prime of life? Or how about those of us that are seniors? We still need to remember our Creator. It's never too late to remember our Creator. It's never been too late to receive Christ. Christ is always there. He's always willing and waiting. He's always willing. You see, it's our duty. It's our duty to walk with Him and to remember our Creator. It's our duty to fear God, He says here in this verse, and keep His commandments. He says here the conclusion of the matter, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Are we to be afraid of God? He says, fear God. Does that mean we're to be afraid? Are we to be afraid of Him in a fear of nervousness and complete, we cringe when we hear His name? Is that what He's talking about, fearing God? No, He's not talking about that. Like someone waiting around the corner to scare you and you become afraid all of a sudden. He's not talking about that. He's talking about reverencing God. In fact, I think if you look at what Mary had to say in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and through 50. She said something here that kind of puts it in perspective, I believe. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, it said, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God for my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. You see, Mary was not afraid. She didn't cringe when she heard what Christ or the angel had told her that came from God. She didn't see Him as a tyrant. No, fearing God includes holding Him in the highest reverence, affording Him the deepest respect. When we have a love for God, it should be a love so deep and broad that if you fear anything, your fear is only disappointing Him as a child would their father. I'm not afraid of God because I reverence Him, but I am afraid of disappointing Him, which I have done too many times. But I started good. I want to finish good. We're to acknowledge Him. We're to do our duty and love Him and fear Him with love and compassion. If we fear God, then we will want to keep His commandments. Just not to avoid punishment, but because we want to please Him in all that we do. I want to please Him. I want to hear Him say one day, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear Him say that. If we please Him, but we are to obey Him in all His commandments. But how do we do that? Do you realize from the first five books of the Old Testament, there are 613 commandments that God gives to His people? Now, that's just the first five books of the Bible. There's also the rest of the Old Testament and the New Testament. How many in here can keep those 613 commandments in the first five books of the Bible? That's exactly right. None of us can, because Christ said, if you've done one, you're guilty of them all. I'm guilty of them all. I cannot keep His commandments by my own effort. I cannot keep His commandments by my own actions. I cannot keep His commandments by my own duty. But I'm glad I don't have to. I'm glad that I have a Savior that kept every one of them to the letter. He walked on this earth. He was a perfect being. He was Christ incarnate in the flesh, and He walked before man. He didn't commit a sin. Everything He did was good and righteous. Everything He did was perfect and pure. Everything that He did when He went to the cross and when He died there, He was thinking about you and me. He performed His duty on Calvary's cross so you and I wouldn't have to go there, because He knew we couldn't live and do the commandments as been recorded in His Word. But Christ did. You see, He did His duty. If He did His duty, we should do our duty. 613. 613. I want to read something else here. Not only is it our responsibility, or our duty rather, is it our duty to to come to Him, not forget Him as we are our Creator as we're young. We're to fear Him, and we're to keep His commandments. But as part of our duty, we're to hear His word in keeping His commandments. Now, God has not given us every answer to the problems that we experience in life in His word. But we have that comforter that He sent us that can encourage us, strengthen us, and direct our steps. The important factor of life should be to fear God, to be submitted to God and His revelation, because there is a divine judgment that's coming. John 5:39, that verse, it tells us to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they that are which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. This book, search the Scriptures. Now, it's not only does it testify about Christ, but the Word of God is a requirement to one having faith. You see, it's my duty to read the Word of God. It's my duty to study the things of God. It's my duty that I might have my faith increased in service to Him, that I might live more righteously because of His righteousness in a world that's dying and going to hell. It's my duty. It's my duty to hear the Word of God and to receive Christ as Savior. It's my duty to not only hear the Word of God and receive Christ, but it's to hear the Word of God, receive Christ before making the major decisions in my life. Now, God blessed me and my wife when He put us together. I was a young Christian. She was young in her faith. But it's by God's grace that He put us together. And He has blessed us throughout the years. I've done some stupid things in my life, and she's hung with me. I've done some things that's not the will of God in my life, and she stayed with me. But you see, what I'm learning here, what God showed me, it is my duty that He is in every aspect a part of my life, from one decision to another decision. Whether it be major, whether it be small. You see, this can make a difference in our ability or position of ability to be able to serve God and follow Him properly. That's why we should know Him and remember Him as our Creator as a young age. At the age of 11 years old, I made a profession of faith in Christ. I believe He saved my soul that day. And He has nurtured me and carried me through all these years. But it's my duty now that I should stand more so in this day to seek the kingdom of God than I ever have before because of the days and the hour that we're in. It is my duty. It is your duty. I don't care if you teach a Sunday school class, and we've not had much of that for the last 3 months. If you teach a Sunday school class and you don't feel the joy of it anymore, you don't feel the tingle of it anymore, you don't feel the excitement of it anymore, it's still your duty to teach that Sunday school class. It's still your duty to go and witness to that person at the gas station because God said it in His Word. You may feel embarrassed. I feel embarrassed myself sometimes. I heard a preacher say he didn't like to go soul winning. Big preacher. If I'd call his name, you'd know him. He said, I don't like to go soul winning. We go every Thursday night, but I don't like to go. So I said, preacher, you mean you don't like? He said, that's right. He said, but I go because it's my duty. I go because of what the Lord's done for me. You know, I was as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs this morning. When I got back down in that back classroom and began to pray, God began to move in my heart again. He began to take that away. He began to let me know that He's in charge. It's not me, it's Him. All I can do is stand here and proclaim His name and tell you, it's your duty to serve God. It's your duty to teach that Sunday school class. It's your duty if you're part of the choir, if you're part of the witnessing team, if you're part of ministering to people in the nursing home. It's your duty to do it, whether you feel like it or not. It's your duty. You think about this. When Christ came and He died, the pain that He felt when He started in the Garden of Gethsemane, when His sweat drops was as drops of blood, and all that He went through, the beatings and all that He went through there, and the cross itself. But yet on that cross, the whole way as He walked that road to Calvary, the whole way as He took that journey of pain and suffering, He had you and me on His mind. You and me. You see, it was His duty to fulfill what God the Father had sent Him to do. He could have called 10,000 angels, but it was not God the Father's will. It was Christ's duty to go to that cross. And he hung there on that cross. He said in his dying breath, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? It was his duty. And now, think about now, he sits on the right-hand side of the Father. It's his duty to make intercessions for you and me. Them old sorry people down on earth that I gave and shed my blood for, gave my life for, died on the cross, walked a perfect life here before them. And I'm making intercessions for them now because they're still living in wickedness. They're still not studying their word. They're not praying and seeking my face. They're not bowing down before me. They're not witnessing for me. They're not lifting me up like they should. What I've done for them, it's their duty. You see, it's our duty, folks. Whether we want to, whether we like to, or we feel privileged to do it, or we have an inkling to do it or not, good or bad, it's our duty. It is our duty to fear God, to walk in His commandments, to do all we can for Him. It's our duty to do these things. The whole duty of man. It is the whole duty of man. We cannot keep all His commandments, but thanks to God, because of Christ, we don't have to. God declares that we are, if we're born again, that we are righteous before Him. And being righteous before Him because of Christ does not give us a license to live like the devil. It gives us a responsibility that includes the duty of serving a gracious and living God. It gives us a great longing that we one day will know we'll see Him face to face because of what He's done. And our crowns will be given, or our jewels, or our rewards will be given based on our duty that we've done for Him. When God saved us, He didn't give us a license to sin. We're not to sin, we're to live for Him. We're to walk with Him. We have His righteousness. We have His word. We have His love and His grace that is forever before us. We are to feel Him. We are to fear Him. We are to respect Him and reverence Him and love Him. And last, we are to keep His commandments, not because we are afraid of punishment, but because we are grateful to the God who sent the Lord Jesus to share His righteousness with us, that makes us acceptable for a holy and righteous God. You see, it's my duty to share this message. If we do our duty to God, then all other duties will fall into place. We're in a war. We're in a battle. It's more present today than it's ever been before. There's a great demonic movement in our world today and in America. In America itself, I don't think it's over with yet. We need to watch the rest of this year, see what's going to happen. But do your duty, folks. As a child of God, witness, win all you can, serve to the best that you can that God will give you, live for Him for the best that you can through His precious word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because the thing about it is, we don't fight for the victory. We fight from the victory. Amen. You see, one day we're going home. One day. And I don't believe it's long off. I believe old Gabriel's licking his lips right now. The trumpet's going to blow. I believe it's coming. I believe He's coming soon. But just remember that. We don't fight for the victory. We fight from the victory. Because Christ won the victory at Calvary. Where do you stand this morning? Where do you stand? Are you prepared to do duty that the Lord's called you to do? Are you born again this morning by the grace of God? Have you been to Calvary and accepted Christ as the living sacrifice for your sins? That's the question today. That's where it's got to start. Remember your Creator who created you. Remember Him. Bring your heart to Him today. As we come to a close this morning, I ask you in the name of Jesus to receive Him if you're not born again, to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. But if you are born again, then are you fulfilling the duty that God has called you to do? Are you living in a way and doing what God has asked you to do in service to Him each and every day? You see, God showed me something that night, and I couldn't figure out why. But when He led me to these scriptures, and I began to study that before even Brother Billy called me, I knew I had failed in my duty in serving God. And ever since then, every chance I get, I try to witness to somebody at the gas station. I talk to people at work even harder than I've ever talked before. I keep telling them, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. Are you ready? You got to be ready. And they say, oh, well, I've got time. No, you don't have time. You don't have time. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, that's fine. Then if I'm right and you're wrong, I'm the winner. But if you're wrong, you're not going to be the winner. And the verse keeps coming to my mind. I'm not afraid to die. I know I'm going to one day, but I'm not afraid to die. Because I remember old Paul, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm going to be kicking up gold dust in the streets of heaven. But I want to finish good. I want to finish good because I've done my duty. Let's all stand.